My siblings, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, says our scripture today. My siblings, there's something profound about being truly seen, isn't there? About being recognized down to our very core by someone who understands exactly what we're experiencing. The kind of recognition that doesn't just acknowledge our very presence, but affirms our very being, our hopes, our fears, our calling. The kind of recognition that makes your soul leap with the joy of being known. 2 years ago, I lived this truth in a way that transformed how I understand today's gospel reading. I was living in Virginia, finishing my seminary studies, and I was pregnant with our daughter, Camila, while my sister, Maria Laquina, was also expecting a little girl of her own. You two, you have met both of them during baptism day. Back home, she was in Houston. Since discovering our shared journey into motherhood, we had been apart, and it had been hard. But yet, from this distance, we supported each other through the morning sickness and through the doctor appointment anxieties. We yearned to be together, to share these precious moments in person, rather through phone, text, and calls. When Christmas, around this exact time, came around, I was about 4 months along, and Laquina was around 6 months. When I traveled home, something incredibly magical happened. Something that echoed this ancient story of Mary and Elizabeth. The moment we were finally together after many months of being apart through this pregnancy, it was as if our daughters recognized each other. The excitement and connectedness that we felt was noticeable for each of us and those around us. It was as if our unborn daughters recognized each other just as John leaped in Elizabeth's womb at Mary's arrival. To this day, our now 18 and 20-month-old daughters, they still share the same connection. It's absolutely beautiful. Best friends whose bond began before they even took their first breath. In my very own sister's presence, I felt truly seen and understood. Another woman who knew exactly what I was experiencing, yet whose journey was uniquely her own, just as Mary found the sacred recognition in Elizabeth. This experience opened my eyes to the depths of what's happening in today's scripture. We often focus on the miraculous aspects of this story, the virgin birth, the divine announcement, the prophetic recognition. But at the heart of this story, my siblings, I truly believe this is a story of the profound power of being seen and understood in the moments of tremendous uncertainty and change. It's about the sacred space that opens up when two people recognize God's work in each other's lives. Now let's think about Mary's situation. She had just received news that would upend anyone's world. An angel has told her that she will bear God's son. She's unmarried, she's young, and she's vulnerable. The news that she carries could destroy her reputation and her engagement, and even put her life in risk. In a culture where a woman's worth was often measured by her adherence to social norms, Mary's situation was far more than just scandalous. My siblings, it was dangerous. And so what does she do? She doesn't just hide away in fear. She doesn't keep this burden to herself, as sometimes our society tells us to. No. Instead, she hurries. If we read the gospel slowly, it says that she, with haste, goes. She ran with to her cousin, to the one person who just might understand. She travels from Nazareth to a town in the Judean highlands, a journey of about 80 miles through dangerous terrain. What compels a young, newly pregnant woman to make such a journey? I believe it's the deep need to be seen, the deep human desire to be known, to be understood, the deep human need of being known and loved, the deep human need of yearning for community. Elizabeth, too, experienced a miraculous and unexpected pregnancy. After years of bearing the shame of being childless in a culture that valued women primarily for their ability to bear children, Elizabeth is now pregnant in her old age. And her journey is complicated by its own divine disruption. Her husband, Zechariah, is struck mute by an angel for his disbelief. He cannot speak. I can't imagine navigating this miraculous pregnancy while also caring for a husband suddenly silenced, unable to share in the daily conversations of this long-awaited child, unable to seek words of comfort and joy from her partner. So you see, Elizabeth too knows what it means to have God completely come in and disrupt your life with blessing. She too understands the mixture of both hope and fear that comes when God's plans don't align with our very careful timing. I felt this deeply with my own sister, Lekina. Both our pregnancies came at unexpected yet expected times, bringing them along with them a complex of mixture of emotions. Like Mary and Elizabeth, my sister and I found in each other understanding and support when we most needed it. We shared our hopes and our fears and our uncertainties. We held space for each other's complex emotions. We celebrated each other's joy while acknowledging each other's challenges. In each other's presence, we found the courage to embrace the ways of God working in our lives, even when that work took an unexpected form. We celebrated anatomy scans and first kicks. We prayed when both our girls were diagnosed with restricted growth and needed medical intervention. We cried and supported one another throughout our birth experiences. Through it all, I knew I had her unconditionally, supporting me through this journey. And through that, I saw the divine giving me strength to walk into motherhood more confidently. This, my siblings, this is the heart of our community, the ability to see and affirm God's work in each other's lives, even when that work comes in unexpected and challenging forms. Elizabeth could have reacted, could have judged. Instead, she offers Mary something so precious, recognition and a blessing. Blessed are you among women, she declares, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But notice what happens next. Elizabeth goes even further. She says, and why has this happened to me? For the mother of my Lord comes to me? In this moment, Elizabeth doesn't just acknowledge Mary's pregnancy. She affirms Mary's role in God's salvation story. She becomes the first person to recognize Jesus as Lord, even before his birth. This is what true recognition does. It helps us to see not just who we are, but who God is calling us to become. These words transform Mary. In the safety of Elizabeth's recognition and blessing, Mary then finds her voice. Mary then breaks out into song that we famously know as the Magnificat. But she doesn't do this, and I think it's very easy to miss this part of the story. Mary doesn't get to break into song until she feels seen, until she feels heard, until she feels safe. Only then does she break out into one of the most revolutionary and profound declarations of all scriptures. My soul magnifies the Lord, she proclaims. And then goes on to paint a vision of God's justice that would have made the powerful tremble. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. This is not just a gentle song of praise. It's a radical proclamation of God's option for the poor and marginalized. Mary, a young woman from a small town, dares to announce God's great reversal of the world's power structures. She declares that God's entrance into the world through her womb will turn everything upside down or right side up again. The hungry will be filled. The lowly will be lifted. The powerful brought down from their thrones. This is what happens when we are truly seen and supported. We find the courage to speak our truth, to claim our calling, to participate in God's revolutionary work of justice and love. Mary's song isn't just a personal expression of joy, it's a manifesto of hope for all who have been overlooked, ignored, or pushed to the margins. And she finds the courage to sing it because Elizabeth first had the courage to see and bless her. So when I look at my daughter Camila and my niece Alia today playing together, their faces lighting up at the sight of each other. I mean, truly, you have to see this in a work. It's incredible. I see the same truth playing out. They recognize each other, not just as cousins, but in this soul deep level, just as they did in the womb. Their love for each other reminds me of what's possible when we create spaces where people can be fully seen and known. Their joy in each other's presence speaks to the kind of community God envisions for all of us. A community where recognition and blessing flow freely, where each person's worth is celebrated, where God's presence in each life is absolutely honored. So this is our calling as a community of faith, to be Elizabeths for one another, to create spaces where people can bring their full selves, their unexpected news, their impossible hopes, their deepest fears, to recognize and affirm God's presence in each other's life, even when, and especially when, that presence manifests in ways we didn't expect. To have the courage to see beyond social conventions and cultural expectations to the holy work God is doing in each one of our lives. But my siblings were also called to be Mary, to have the courage to seek out community when we are carrying something too heavy to bear alone. Let me repeat that. Let us be Marys, to have the courage to seek out community when we're carrying something too heavy to carry alone, to trust that God has prepared people who will understand, who will see us, who will bless us rather than judge us, to believe that in the safety of such recognition and blessing, we too might find our voice, our courage, and our calling to dare to participate in God's work of turning the world right side up again. And so as we stand here on this fourth Sunday of Advent, this story challenges us to examine our own community. We can look at one another, think of the family and friends, think of those that we interact with. Who among us needs an Elizabeth? Someone to recognize and affirm God's work in our life. Who needs space to process their unexpected news, their impossible hopes, their deepest fears? Who needs to be seen, but not just superficially, but deeply in a way that Elizabeth saw Mary? And how can we create the kind of community where such recognition and blessing can flourish? Because here's the truth, my siblings. God's revolutionary work of justice and love, the work that Mary sings so beautifully about in the Magnificat, it doesn't happen in isolation. Never has, never will, no matter how much we try to do it. It happens when we dare to seek out for each other, when we create spaces where people can fully be seen and known and welcomed and celebrated and encouraged. It happens when we, like Elizabeth, learn to see beyond our own expectations and to recognize God's work in the unexpected places and people. This Advent, may we have the courage to be both Elizabeth and Mary. May we seek out the community when we need it and offer it to others when they do. May we recognize and bless God's presence in each other's lives, even and especially when the presences surprise us. And may we, like Mary, find the courage to sing our very own songs, to sing it loudly, to take up our prophetic birthright and sing our own songs of God's love and justice, knowing we don't sing it at all. For in the end, this is what the incarnation teaches us. God's greatest work happens in community. The Emmanuel, God with us, comes to us through relationship, through recognition, through the courage to be seen. The Word becomes flesh not in isolation, but in the context of beloved community, of relationship, of mutual recognition and blessing. As simply as may we be that kind of community for each other, for those around us, today and always. Amen.